table of contents as is, no changes?
Changes.
Acknowledgement of Guthrie, acknowledgement of country. We acknowledge and pay our respects to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as traditional and original owners and continuing custodians of this land on which we gather today, and acknowledge elders past, present and emerging. Gov 4, any declarations of pecuniary interest? No? Gov 5, Local Government Association of Tasmania have motions for their general meeting to be held on the 26th of June. Do you wish to speak to
it? No, ma'am, it really, as it is, it's just a formality with regards to allowing the meetings to be held remotely, and they've got a suggestion with regards to appointing Mayor Albert Benzin or Councillor Jeff Lyons as the proxy to vote. It is up to yourselves to move the motion and select who you wish to vote for.
Okay, CND 1, the Review of the Strata Titles Act, 1998.
The Strata Titles Act is being reviewed by Department of Climate Industries, Parks, Water and Environment. They sent out the document attached, which has a number of questions. The first two sections mainly relate to the council's role in strata titles. Council staff have reviewed it and recommend that, just for clarification, in our experience, is if it specifies that common property needs to have either a common driveway or shared services, that'll stop a number of discussions that we've had to have with surveyors. At the times try to get through a strata when it really should be a subdivision, but this would just clear it up, and just recommending that comment there.
Okay,
my experience with this thing is body corporates and all the problems that Rose, Councillor Polly may have also had a few on his desk over the years. They seem to be treating this two different ways. The other issue that I saw in there was that they're not going to have a plan of the unit within the building, they're just going to say unit 7. In the complex at 28 Smith Street. I see that causing some problems when somebody's knocked down a door and all those things. They seem to manifest themselves. The thing of shared driveways, shared other areas, needs to be... I see that they're certainly doing that in review, and I see other states have done that. That has caused a lot of issues over the years. From a council perspective, we don't have to sort out people's problems, but the body corporate on whose role is what, and if there's a dispute, who sorts it out? Hopefully it doesn't end up coming back to council to do that. So those issues that are represented in there, I hope that we cover that. I don't know if we've got any experience of that here in Longford or in the Northern Midlands.
Not that I'm aware of.
I certainly understand that setting up the body corporate can cause concerns, but they don't come to us for a resolution, no.
Councillor Boss.
Mr. Gorey, yes, what common concerns do we have with Strata Titles when we had them put forward in Northern Midlands Council?
The concerns we have are when a surveyor will put forward what really is a subdivision. They'll put it forward as a strata title, and the way the Act's written is that if council believes it's really a subdivision, we need to refuse it as a strata. Problem is, then we get into, I guess, arguments with the surveyors because a strata title has common property. That's one of its defining features. And the way it's written is that common property is any land within the strata scheme that's outside of a lot boundary. And they're correct when they say that, you know, land, you know, a certain distance below the lots is common property, but for practical reasons it's not. So that's why the suggestion is, if you define the common property as something practical, which is a driveway or shared services, that'll take that room for argument away. So what's been put up to councillors would be a proper substance, proper strata, I should say. Yeah.
I realise there are also issues with putting gas connections, power connections, I don't know about stormwater. There's the each individual in a tenancy then is responsible for their own water, or does the body corporate control all that? The council deals with the body corporate.
Yeah, so I think it can be both ways actually. So they could have, as I understand, with water, Taswater would put one metre on, and then the body corporate could deal with that one bill, or they could have the 1 metre and then sub-metre inside, and then each unit would get their own bill that way. Yeah. But that's up to the body corporate if they do that.
So the separation, as you said about having a property like a swimming pool, which you know, 10 years down the track, the 10 people that live in the complex are told that it's not their swimming pool, they've given it to the unit one, they now own the swimming pool, or the public room or games room or whatever, which everyone thought belonged to the body corporate. Are those things talked about in that major paper?
So that my understanding of that, which I think is talked about there, is they would need changes to the setup of the management scheme, which would have to go through the body corporate to happen. Mm.
Councillor Davis.
Having a little
bit of a cross there. All of those issues, Councillor Adams, are dealt with in the Strata Titles Act. Mm. And none of those situations could occur without a vote of the strata holders themselves to make that happen. So they're not relevant to council in any case. They would be a matter for the strata owners. The two questions I have are, have we consulted with Legat on this? And if so, what are the issues they're raising? And I noted that this was advertised for comment on the 8th of May, and here it is the 15th of June, and we're left with 4 days to make an informed comment. I wonder, you know, can we be a bit more prompt in future in getting the notices out where these are going to come to council so that we can have a bit more of an informed consideration?
And that's why we're calling this meeting.
Understood.
So my question is, have we consulted with Legat? And if so, what are the issues that they think need to be raised?
What normally happens is Legat consults with us and we'll provide our comment to them, and they usually do a composite of actually all the advice they get from the councils, and they put that forward.
So have they asked us for comment?
Not aware of, no.
Thank you.
Does someone want to put a recommendation forward?
I'll move the recommendation.
Do I have a second up? Councillor Polly? Any further discussion? I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Any public questions or statements?
None
received. Okay, so we'll move as a planning authority. Councillor Ross, Councillor Lambert, all those in favour?
No.
Against? Carried. Planning one. Malcolm Street Longford. Who's the next one to speak to? Yep.
Planning one is an application to construct multiple dwellings, a thick multiple dwelling. There are a number of variations, but in all cases the relevant performance criteria are met. We did receive three representations from nearby neighbours. I also consulted on site with another neighbour that didn't lodge a representation but had some concerns around some density and green space. So the issues generally that have been raised are not supported by the variations in the scheme, but they're outlined in the report there. The recommendation is for approval, given that the application complies with the plan scheme requirements.
Yeah,
so we're going to discuss, Councillor Foley. Second, have a second on? Yeah. Councillor Goss, all those in favour? Against?
Carried.
Councillor Foley.
Yeah, Ben, isn't she has a lot of units in off that would be here. Yeah. I just wonder what the place would look like if it had been done 20 or 30 years. There were so many units, it would be a real, real problem for us. But, that's the only comment I wanted to make. It's, everyone's got a bit of a block now, it's been subdivided off. In this case, it's a clear block. But yeah, it's just a concern of what the future's going to be. I think that's what we can do with it in the planning scheme.
Councillor Brooks. You're on mute, Councillor.
No, I actually went down there and had a look at that block of land, and quite surprisingly, it's got a real narrow entry to the subdivision. Now, going back to what Councillor Foley's been harping on about for a fair few months now about the wheelie bins, I've got to concede with him there and agree that there'd be nowhere where you'd ever put the wheelie bins in that development if it's approved. There's been no roadworks to be done there, and I can't see for the life of me as to why there wouldn't be some curb and channel works done there. There's a big open drain that runs the full frontage of the block. I'm not sure where does the council road finish? Does it finish before the back creek? Does it finish on top of the hill? I'm not real sure. Now I've lost my train of thought now.
On top of the levee, mate.
On top of the levee. So why wasn't that development application have to do the road works out the front and the curb and channel? That's my first question. The second question is the drainage, the stormwater that runs into that open drain that runs along the levee bank, that's either a walkway or an open drain, I'm not sure what it is, but normally you'd have a stormwater retention in there, because what happens in the event of a big flood there, will that fill up with water and then back up the stormwater up into that development? That's the next question. And the last one is, why hasn't there been any roadworks and entry works to that subdivision, given the nature of the big open drain there and dangerous for people walking around the area, and there's nowhere for cars to park there. Has anyone went and had a look at it?
So in terms of the roadworks and constructing curb and channel, that's inhibited by the location of the levee and being able to construct, or basically that levee needs to be maintained to maintain its integrity. And in my discussion with Mr. Galbraith, basically doing works into that area would, basically create issues in terms of the location of the levee.
But the frontage of the blocks before the actual levee starts, so it wouldn't breach the integrity of the levee because the block of land's before the levee.
Yeah, so they are proposing to sort of more centralise that access point to allow access into the block, but the in terms of the actual lay of the land, in my discussions with Mr Galbraith, he indicated that extending the curb and channel through that area would be practical.
Councillor Goss.
Well, just add on, just for one that point, you've got up to a question saying to Mr Councillor Woods, but if they don't do something about the road service, and I understand that the curb and channel mightn't be okay, but they should at least do something with the road, because the road is on top of the embank or the embank. I mean, if they don't do it, then we're going to have six residents ringing up and saying to us, when are we going to seal their bit of road, or what we're going to do? And I don't think we should. I think that should be put as part of their condition, at least, that the road is sealed up to where their property starts. And if the curb and channel doesn't work, I can understand it doesn't work, and that's okay. Probably not, maybe not that critical, but I think the road sealing probably would be critical, because unless you can say a reason why the road doesn't need to be sealed.
So certainly there is a condition in proposed that driveway and the full driveway design is provided to council prior to any works commencing. So that would need to provide a detailed design and a sealed access.
And that means the road will be sealed as well?
In terms of from...
I think council was thinking that the road is not sealed.
No, it's not.
It's a gravel road, it needs to be sealed.
It's sealed to a certain point until it starts to head up over the levee.
The road's gravel from the start of the property boundary right along the front of it, so it's not sealed. I've been up there.
On page 17, good example.
Yes, so there are conditions to say that a hot mix sealed driveway must be constructed from the edge of the road to the property boundary.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't say the road needs
no,
the road.
No,
it's not saying that. It's saying it needs the road. So who's going to seal the road? The road pass? That's the question.
That's not fair.
We don't want to take on that real sealing while we're sealing the road. It might only be 20 metres.
General rule of thumb with those subdivisions, and it's been going on for years, that the developer needs to, normally the case, that they seal the road in front of the development or go hard with council at least.
I think the point
too
is...
Councillor Gideon's next, but I thought there might be an answer.
But I haven't had an answer on the other questions yet.
Yeah, so
in
terms of the question re-sealing, well, the condition proposed is that it's constructed from the edge of the road. The application is not for subdivision,
it's
for multiple dwellings. And if the existing roadway, from my recollection, is that it's sealed almost up to the frontage of the property.
Oh, well, we'll just come back and buy council again. What about the stormwater?
Could you just clarify a question on the stormwater again for me, sorry?
The developers suggested that they hold the water and pump it. Council went against that, and disposing of the stormwater into that open drain that runs along the flood levee there. In the event of a big flood, will that drain fill up with water and then back up the stormwater back up in flood all the development out? They believe so.
Just having a look through the works infrastructure conditions, I would imagine that there would be a requirement for a backflow device on that, but Mr. McConnell
yep.
might be able to provide some clarification on that.
2016, when I suppose it was the most amount of water we've had there, the water was still flowing past down into Payton Street Detention and we were pumping it out. Not to say that water won't back up, I'd say they'd have floor level to build to, like the Greys did in the same area. Will it flood through there? I don't believe so, but I'm not an expert on that piece.
Also,
Councillor
Gideon. Right, I was concerned about that. Is the water, removing the water from there? We talked further up about the land of pits and flooding right up back there. So I'd imagine that water would flow down the inside of the levee. And therefore this block here would flood immensely in the event of a large flood, if that's the case. And I just wonder, as I think Councillor Brooks
leading to having removed the water from there.
That's where Townsend's got those pumps set up, two pumps from there.
Further down Pagent Street.
Down Pagent Street, down the end, near the sewer pump station. No, so all the water is actually graded to the bottom of the, towards Pagent Street.
I'm concerned about the fact that we're setting six units there. The fact they may be underwater at some stage.
Councillor Pollitt.
Well, first of all, the issue raised by Councillor Brooks in relation to the ceiling, this developer hasn't got to do any curb and gutter. Other places have had to do it, we've made them do it. One at Perth, where it was an existing road with no curb and gutter, they were expected to do this. So I would, the least we can do is make sure they seal the road, not just from the boundary of their property, but the road, if it's not continued to there, it should be sealed until we enter their property, so it is sealed. I think it should have that as a condition. And also, no one can seem to answer it in relation to flooding. We really need this. Why don't we can get a report or some sort of report to ensure that that's covered? So is it possible to defer this by negotiation to talk to these people about this, or...?
The application obviously has an extension of time to allow for a decision at this meeting. In terms of review of the application, it has been reviewed by council's hydrologist, and that process happens, you know, through that assessment process. And he didn't raise any major issues with myself about that, and it's certainly not located within a flood-prone area. It's marked in our scheme maps, so it doesn't bring in any of those sections of the planning scheme for further assessment.
Can we add a condition that the road has to be sealed to the council's satisfaction to allow a sealed access to not just from their property but from the road, the existing ceiling, to their property? So that at least that way they'll be covered as sealed.
Yes, council could add that condition if they wish.
Councillor Adams,
isn't it? I think the whole issue, and Councillor Brooks raised, and I had a look at this, this is a very tight subdivision. You know, fitting six on this block, I can tell you when you have a look at it. You know, five, but four would probably give you a very nice outcome, but six is really... But they're all within the plan. The drain, the large drain, and the roading, and the driveway really need to be dealt with. And, you know, council either's going to pay for it, one way or the other. If we don't put it on to the person that's doing the subdivision of why the road needs to be done. The large drain, it's very close to where the driveway is. It's a big drain. We still call that walkway a road, do we? Is it Urbic Road? That's on our maps, isn't it?
Yeah. It's
Crown Land, right. With the river, it's connected to the river and then the levee. Because it isn't actually a road, you can't drive anything along. It's only big enough for a walkway. But I certainly agree, there needs to be a tidy up of the road. You know, I think the drain will be dangerous. When you've got people, if you've got six cars going in there, or eight, or 10, or 20. And so I think that whole area needs to be looked at, and it's either going to be a cost to council or a cost to the developer.
Councillor Goss.
Not your account.
No, you're
I'm just looking at the pictures on page 18 in my book. I don't know what page you are on. Page 18. I'm looking at the second one down on the left hand side, for a picture of the front street and two guide posts there. The large drain, this, I've got a question for Mr. Cuttle over there. The large deep drain you can see there on the left hand side, it's got a culvert in it.
Yes.
Draining from the curb and gutting up the street where we see the car park. Does that drain run back towards that creek, or does it run? So, I mean, wouldn't you think that you'd ask them to put more? Wouldn't it be reasonable to put a longer culvert in there to make it actually filled in, and then they can put their nature strip on and guttering? And it mightn't need to have curb on it, but they could possibly just have a gutting. But I think that'd be a reasonable. It's
their access is going to be fixed, and that becomes up their responsibility, or that's their responsibility. I'm not sure,
Yeah, so that's the orange pit on the other side, we saw where the car's parked, that water gets flown towards Back Creek. So that, to extend that pipe, would take the water away further. And actually, the extending might have somewhere to put a few bins as well out of the area.
Would that be a council responsibility, or would that be a
Well, at this stage, would be a council responsibility, because I hadn't been through that. Unless you make it part of it.
I'm not sure if it should be part of it or not, but I mean, if it's generally council do those kind of things, and developers do the curb and gutting, that's okay, but if we...
There's no curb and gutting cost you, just so that all be part of it. Goes in the drain.
The original, when it subdivided off, that actually pipe work was extended at that time, but that was only for two blocks, I think, not the three.
Councillor Gannon.
But are we setting a precedent here? My understanding is that if it was a subdivision, then we can ask to put past curbs and road. But in this instance, it's not a subdivision. So if we are saying that they've got to have it sealed, is that, are we setting a precedent from previous things that we've done? I mean, would we normally ask for a person that was going to build on a block of land to put bitumen on the road at the front?
Not a single block, no.
So that's what I'm saying, we're setting the precedent, we're going to do that tonight. So it's really council's responsibility, regardless, to have that road sealed.
They're part of it, too.
Councillor Davis.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have three points. The first one is about the road sealing that we've discussed. It may well be that it's a precedent, Councillor Gannon, but I don't think it's appropriate for a multi-dwelling development. For the council to be paying for those roadworks. I think it's incumbent on us to put that cost back on the developer. My second comment was around the bins and where we're going, what we're going to do in those. I note in one of the other papers later on, there's a provision for council to only supply one bin between two properties. They're going to have to work that one out. Maybe we need to look at that, because there certainly isn't room for all those bins out the front there. Sorry?
It'll be 14, that's right.
Well, 12 times 6 was 12.
Oh, 6, that's right.
Yeah.
Councillor Davis.
12.
And my final comment was, recognising this is a really tight proposal for the development, I find it bizarre that we've got the visitor car parks at the back of the block. How on earth are the visitors going to know that the visitors' car parks are at the back of the block?
Yeah,
should be in front of the block. And there's space there for them to be at the front. So I've got major concerns about this one.
Councillor Clambert.
I know it's not part of the planning thing, but if there's space just as you come in on the right hand side of that plan to put the bins there internally, or does that then create, I'm thinking out loud, does that then create an issue of correction? Because there is really nowhere to put them.
I think you'll find the contractors won't drive in and back out.
Right.
They'll drive in if they can turn around and come out.
Yeah.
There's a health and safety issue.
Yeah, that's
okay. There's no issue in the area because it's just been drained.
Mm. Councillor Brooks.
Yeah, I have seen them in Launceston. Richards, they drive into the mouldy developments and they empty all the bins and they back out. So I don't know where we're getting that information from, it's a health and safety issue, but I've seen them do it. I drive around the city quite regularly to work and see it happen all the time. So they could possibly do that, Councillor Lambert, if we made it a rule as to that what could happen, because there's nowhere out on the road to put them.
We won't be making it a rule, because that's not proper practice. I can understand the concern, but getting some of the driving forward and then reverse back onto our road in a compactor. And I'm sure it does go on elsewhere. But
well, they do it in Launceston with a lot busier roads than what that street there is.
Councillor Calvert.
Well, I think it's important if the question's asked at the council, where do they put the rubbish bins? It sounds like we can't provide them with an answer. Is that a fair comment?
Yeah.
That's a pretty open situation. And as Councillor Brooks raised earlier, I mean, you're dealing with six landholders, there'll be six different opinions, and we need to get this sorted.
I'm happy to move the recommendation. I'm out in the discussion, but I'm happy to move that. But I would like to see if we can put in that the road is sealed and something done with the drainage outside, that becomes part of the condition, or at least negotiate with the council over those two issues. I think they're the thing one. And I think if that culvert was done out the front, then there'd be plenty of room to put the swimming things on that area there. But I think there would be, maybe. I'm not sure. But, I'm not sure if that's correct, but I'm quite happy to move that motion.
Do I have a second motion?
Can we get some words in?
I've just put...
Your motion...
At this stage, do you want to read out what...
Doesn't cover the wheelie
bin. I'm not sure how many can cover the wheelie bin, that's why.
Well, what's going to happen with the wheelie bin?
Yeah.
I mean, there's
a real question. I need a second before we discuss it further.
Can we choose because of the wheelie bins? I think that's the issue.
There are no provisions within the planning scheme that deal with how rubbish collection is undertaken outside of the property boundary. There are provisions in terms of storage within the site, so that each unit has an allocated area to store their bins on non-rubbish days. But there are no provisions in which to assess how collection is undertaken.
I just make the point that you can't use annual parking in Campbelltown and move it for safety reasons and then have a garbage truck backing in and out of a private residence where it's a built-up area, because you can't control other kids and other people around the place. So I think that's a disappointing danger. It'll be consistent.
So
that's why we're moving annual parking from now.
And there is road frontage there. It would be in front of other properties, but there is, a whole road which
bins
could be located that far within a public road.
Is it possible to make it?
It'd be lovely for the neighbours to come home and see 10 wheelie bins in front of their house, wouldn't it?
Well, that's what they do in some other areas.
Okay, so Councillor Goss has moved the recommendation, hoping to include those two extra.
What about the part of the fact that the visitors, is it possible to make and do that?
Not that included in your recommendation, Councillor Goss?
No, I can respond to that. There are the planning scheme requires that visitor parking be provided. It doesn't stipulate the location of that parking.
It needs to be tightened up. We need to get this road sorted.
So the motion will lapse for lack of a second. We need someone else to move another motion.
I'll move a motion that we don't accept that this.
Can you repeat that, Councillor Brooks?
I'll move a motion that we reject the application.
And do you have grounds?
Yeah, I do. Insufficient area for the visitor parking on the front. Tight driveway to go into the actual development. Insufficient area on the front of the block for traffic movements safely. Insufficient area for waste operators to pick up the rubbish. The list goes on and on.
Do any of those stand up?
The thing that before I go on, we've got to be conscious of that we're in a very tight fiscal situation. What's our chances if this is appealed? That's what we've got to be very careful about.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm asking. Yes. Do any of those grounds stand up?
What do any of those grounds stand up?
Well, the discretions are listed at the start of the report, and I don't think any of those grounds relate to those discretions. So, no, I don't think that's stand up.
Councillor Brooks has moved that recommendation. Is there a second?
Always a discretion.
So, without a seconder, that motion.
I'll second
Councillor Brooks's recommendation.
Yeah, I didn't get all of these comments.
So, Councillor Brooks, do you wish to go through your list of comments?
Yeah, right-o. For the parking forward of the building 9, that'll be the first one, and that is one of the discretionary aspects of the application. Parking space width, I'll add that to it. And then along with the stormwater, that I don't believe that's going to work in the event of a big flood and could potentially flood out those properties. And all those other ones that are listed, you can throw them into the bucket as well.
Why don't you say it's unsafe, the driveway is unsafe, which I believe it is.
The driveway is unsafe. And I believe that the open culvert that runs off the driveway is also unsafe, given there's 6 units going in there, potentially a dozen or more kids that could potentially be a hazard for people walking around the area as well.
Any further discussion? Okay, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
Aye. So against is Councillor Polly, Councillor Lambert, Councillor Knowles and Councillor Goss. Councillor Howard, I didn't catch which
one. I was for the motion.
Four, okay. And how about Councillor Davis? Sorry, I didn't catch.
I was for the motion.
Right. So it's carried.
Yeah, carried.
Aye. End of story. Okay, planning 2, 44 Main Road 3.
Thank you. So it's an application for 2-lot subdivision. There was one representation from a neighbour who's concerned about stormwater, saying stormwater already runs through that property towards the railway. So we had our hydrologist review this application and they're proposing a tunnel system for stormwater, and so in reality that'll actually improve the situation because the roof area plus hardstand will be pumped away from the site, so it'll actually improve it in terms of stormwater. There is a building envelope where they can build more than 50 metres from the railway, so yes, it's recommended for approval.
Councillor Boss.
Happy to move the recommendation, but I've got a question as well.
Do we have a seconder for the recommendation?
I will second.
Councillor Polly, Councillor Goss.
Yeah, my question is that just on the pumping system for the stormwater, whose responsibility is to maintain that they keep on going? Does council have a register all the pumping systems in Northern Midlands and to make sure they are being maintained and work and that kind of stuff? In theory they work really well, but if something fails on them, then we'll probably come back to council and say what's going on here. Do we have a register of the pumps and do we have a system to make sure that they're checked? Risk management of it. Do we have that?
As far as I know, we don't have a register, Mr. Collier. No, we don't.
Maybe that's something we should take forward to gender council. Again, in the future.
We can, but normally that's the responsibility of the property owner to maintain those. We do get complaints from particularly one location, but that's their responsibility to maintain and make sure they were operating.
Yep.
It's not council's responsibility.
Thank you.
Councillor
Lambert.
Just in regard to.
I'm going along with your
Councillor Lambert
speaking. Around the time.
Pardon?
There's something going on with your microphone around the table. It's gone all fuzzy.
Okay.